Welcome to Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast. Brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another enlivened episode of Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast. Brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. Coming up on today's podcast, we have an interview with Eileen Licaro from Broadway in Chicago. Also, Tom Williams brings us another audio review. And of course, as always, Chicago's theater news. So sit back, relax, and get ready to talk some theater. Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another episode of Talk Theater in Chicago's news podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of August 28, 2006. The Victory Gardens Theater will officially rename its longtime residence on North Lincoln Avenue the Victory Gardens Theater Greenhouse. The official renaming will be done at an open house celebration on Tuesday, August 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. This is your chance to sample the variety of companies and plays that will be seen at the Victory Gardens Theater Greenhouse on any given night, and it's for free. Now, the performances and the behind-the-scenes presentations will rotate on the half hour on both floors in all four greenhouse spaces. And the shows will be About Face Theater. Their artistic staff will be giving a season preview of what you can expect from the theater company. Eclipse Theater Company will be doing scenes from Spinning into Butter. Impact will be doing scenes from their Panther Run and Blaxploitation 2. Of course, Remy Bumpo will have an open rehearsal for The Best Man. And Shattered Globe will be coming on with scenes from Come Back Little Sheba. The Victory Gardens recently made a $11.3 million purchase and renovation of Chicago's historic Biograph Theater. Now, that is only two blocks north of the Greenhouse, and that main stage of the Biograph will be opening in late September. Go to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section for more information. Kids will be able to enjoy a free taste of Emerald City Theater Company. That's right, the kids can meet Snow White, the Nutcracker, the Cat and the Hat, and other Emerald City characters at A Taste of Emerald City. This is a free event celebrating the launch of the company's 11th season. The event will take place on Saturday, September 9th, starting at 9:30 in the morning at the Apollo Theater. The whole family should be able to enjoy this free day of fairy tale workshops, King Tut puppet shops, and performances of Emerald City's new touring musical, Ozzapalooza. I like that name. Emerald City's new touring musical review is a fun, energetic, and engaging trip back through 10 years of Emerald City's favorite original songs. And, of course, it promises to blow you right back to Kansas. Musical excerpts from The Wizard of Oz, Where the Wild Things Are, The Jungle Book, and Green Eggs and Ham are all included in Emerald City's Ozzapalooza. Remy Bumpo Theater Company officially begins its 2006-2007 season with its annual Season Salon. That is on Wednesday, September 6th. The salon will be held at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater. The celebration includes coffee, desserts, and of course some sparkling conversation. Speakers will include Remy Bumpo's artistic director James Bonin, along with three other prominent Chicagoans, who will enlighten the themes of each of Remy Bumpo's main stage plays, which will include Gore Vidal's The Best Man, Tom Stoppard's The Real Thing, and George Bernard Shaw's Mrs. Warren's Profession. This year's panelists are David Axelrod, Amy Dickinson, and Rachel Steer. Remember, that is on Wednesday, September 6th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater. Talk Theater in Chicago would like to congratulate Alec Wild, who was once the artistic director of the Folio Theater in Chicago. Well, now Alec will be the new artistic director of the Illinois Shakespeare Festival in Bloomington. It's nice to see people stepping up in the world. Congratulations, Alec Wild. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Theater in Chicago's news podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's review podcast. Here is my review of Orphans. Orphans by Lyle Kessler, directed by Tom Reedy, produced by Raimi Chai Theater at City Lit Theater. Orphans is a marvelous offbeat fable. Kyle Kessler's 1985 black comedy slash psychological drama, first mounted at Steppenwolf Theater and filmed in 1987, has seldom been produced locally. Kudos to the newly formed Raimi Chai Theater for tackling the terse, psychologically and emotionally draining work. Orphans is in good hands with these three players. Richard Leo Madsen, who plays Philip, Seth Remington plays Treat, and John Arthur Lewis plays Harold. Each gave stellar performances in Keller's raw fable of three dysfunctional losers struggling to survive in a lonely, frightful world. We see how men without women in their lives resort to their primal instincts. This is a major achievement as an initial offering for a fledgling new theater group. Orphans is wonderfully acted and is an emotionally wrenching piece. Treat and Philip were orphaned early in life, and Treat was institutionalized for attacking a social worker. Now the two live in a shabby North Philadelphia house that finds Philip confined as an agoraphobiac to the house, where he spends his days watching TV and hiding in his deceased mother's closet. Philip is a likable, wide-eyed innocent and is played with charm, warmth, and acute comic bent by Richard Leo Madison. Treat is the mean, rageful, older brother who desperately needs to be in control of the, quote, family, meaning Philip, since the early abandonment still has him producing violent tantrums. Treat alternates between being cruel and manipulative and friendly and nurturing to Philip. Treat does feed Philip's paranoia of the outside world as the ultimate control method. Treat doesn't want Philip to educate himself. Seth Remington gave a tour de force performance as the raging thug, ready to explode. Treat supports the family by robbing, at knife point, pedestrians on the street. His rage causes him to cut many a victim. When he brings home Harold, played by John Arthur Lewis in a smoothly commanding performance, Harold is a drunken businessman with a briefcase full of stock certificate, who Treat wants to kidnap for ransom. When that happens, the family's life is altered for good. Harold, himself an orphan from Chicago, quickly decides to become a father figure to Philip and Treat. He offers psychological support and confidence to Philip. He also hires Treat as his bodyguard and tries to mentor Treat in an attempt to make him a less angry and more genteel criminal. The play is cleverly written and marvelously directed. It emerges as part sentimental idealism, part gangster comedy with strong psychological undertones. The scene where Harold has Philip roleplay being a black man hogging a seat on a bus as Treat tries to gently persuade him to move over was hilarious. Treat never learned those lessons of patience. The father-son relationship between Harold and Philip and Treat were humorously and effectively presented, as also the pains of growing up without parents were deftly defined. This is a black comedy fable with heart, as we see three lost souls struggling like the dead-end kids to survive. The need to be needed and the power of physical touch are aptly demonstrated in this piece. You'd be hard-pressed to find a more energetic and at times physically manic acting than these three performers deliver in this offbeat, terrific show. Nice work from a new theater group. My rating for Orphans, highly recommended. It is at City Lit Theater, which is at 1025 West Bryn Mawr, Chicago, Illinois. For more information, call 312-324-0362. Tickets are $15 and it's well worth it. This is a little sleeper show that is terrific. Again, the phone number is 312-324-0362. Thank you for listening. This is Tom Williams saying go see a play this week. Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our special guest this week is Eileen Licario, who is Vice President of the Broadway in Chicago. Welcome to Talk Theater in Chicago's podcast. First, I want to start off by saying congratulations on the tremendous success of Wicked and the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
Oh, thanks so much. It's really a pleasure to have both shows here in town and both doing so well, and we're very lucky that they chose Chicago and chose Chicago for a long time.
Well, I think it's a tribute to Broadway and Chicago's leadership that made that possible. It seems to me some smart marketing and utilization of the Chicago talent pool has certainly helped make these shows successful.
Well, I appreciate your kind words. I mean, we were very lucky. We have a tremendous president, Lou Raven, and a great staff, small but mighty, that have done really great things for us in Chicago. And I think when producers come into Chicago, they really see the difference, that we're committed to the shows and committed to the success of the shows. And I think that's made a huge difference for people really looking to Chicago to be first.
Okay, give us some numbers on Wicked. I know Wicked's breaking all the Chicago records.
Well, it's over a million, and Broadway in Chicago as a whole just last year brought in 1.6 million into the district, and we hope to do even more next year. And
you're virtually selling out all the shows.
Wicked has been a complete sellout. Pretty much every night, performance in and performance out, we have a completely full house, and we've been very, very excited to be able to host the show.
And it's been running for how long now?
Well, it's over a year.
Over a year.
We had a great anniversary. We had 365 witches dressed up in green alphabet garb and come down to the Water Tower Park and celebrate the anniversary, and they all got to come and see the show. So it was very, very exciting. And you know, there's a real excitement about Wicked that is really different. It's just one of those. It's one of those shows that really attracts from 8 to 80. People come to it. It's an event. They come from all over the country. I mean, we have people coming from as far as Japan, Salt Lake City, all over the Midwest.
So what's an ideal tourist attraction besides being, you know, a wonderful production?
It's really transformed theater into destination marketing. I mean, we've always had an incredibly strong theater community here in Chicago, and we've always drawn from a tri-state area. But now I actually think people are looking to Chicago over New York for their travel plans.
Well, that's terrific, and as you know, I'm a big advocate of Chicago theater, and like I get really aggravated when I see a show come in where the out of town talent is, you know, okay, you know, fine, but we can always sit back and name four or five local Chicagoans who could play the role at least as good, if not better.
Right. Well, we've always been a strong proponent of Chicago talent for, you know, every portion of the business, and every time that we have a chance to have a show originate here in Chicago, whether it be the tour or whether it be pre-Broadway, we're always very much an advocate that they audition here, that they look in Chicago first, or at least at the same time that they're looking everywhere else in the country.
Well, Wicked and Spelling Bee are chock full of some of the A-list Chicago talent.
And when we had Lion King back 2 years ago, we had that first 39-week run. Many of the people came from
That's true. There were a lot of our talent.
So we really love seeing the resident Chicago actors be able to get parts in these big shows. Of course, we're always unhappy to lose them when they go out on tour, and I'm sure many of the theaters miss them, but they always come back because Chicago is the place to work.
Yeah, I noticed that. Well, several have told us it may not become a star in Chicago, but you can't really fail because there's always work.
It's funny, I think all actors in Chicago are stars, and that's the way Chicagoans think about it. They're really an ensemble group.
That's true. There aren't a lot of egos. One show you're the star, and the next show you're in the ensemble. Yeah.
And, you know, it's really interesting because one of the reasons when we started out with Broadway in Chicago, our mission was to have pre-Broadway and long run. And we started with pre-Broadway, and that was really our impetus. And one of the things, the first thing we used to sell that to producers was we literally said, look, we have the best audience in the entire country. And why do we have the best audience? Because Chicagoans really understand new work. We have over, 150 plus theaters, many of which are doing new work, revivals that are completely changed. And so when audience members come in, they understand the whole process and they really like being a part of the process. And so that was really one of the major tools we used in selling free Broadway to the producers in New York.
Well, and it certainly has worked out for you. Kicking off your season, you have a touring production of Annie that has a kind of a special that's going to run from September 19th to October 1st that has one of our local favorites in it.
And who might you be referring to?
Well, Eileen Robertson, who's one of our grand ladies of Chicago theater.
Of Chicago theater, right? She's certainly one of them. Yes, Eileen, is going to be in with the tour, and we're so excited to have Annie. I mean, there's been this resurgence of people interested in seeing the show, and, you know, it's a show that's certainly been around in its time.
Oh, it's one of my favorites. It's one of those shows you can see it every few years.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that they say you can't wreck it either, but I know that this is an exceptional production. We've heard a lot of great things about it.
And it'll be great to see Eileen Robertson back because I know she just came off a major illness that a lot of people were very worried about her, and so many people are so glad to see that she's back, you know, healthy and able to perform again. I'm going to be excited to see the show.
I definitely think Eileen is a survivor. I mean, I can remember her very young. I think one of her first professional productions, I worked on with her at Candlelight Dinner Playhouse. And, you know, we're just thrilled that she's back in Chicago and doing so well.
Well, that's great. But the big news of the starting out of your season is the world premiere of The Pirate Queen. Tell us about the show. I know I went on on the Broadway in Chicago website, and there is a video clip that gives you a flavor of what the show's about and a taste of the music, and I'll tell you, I'm excited about it.
Well, I'll tell you, just when you think of all the people that are involved in the show, I mean, they're top-notch talent. I mean, Bobiel and Schoenberg, who've done Les Mis and Miss Saigon, and John and Moya Doherty, who are the producers from Riverdance, and Frank Galati, who certainly is Chicago's sweetheart, directing it. You just know that there is going to be a lot of energy and love and tremendous artistry that goes into this production. And I was just talking to the technical staff just a little bit ago, and they told me that they really do believe it's the biggest show we've loaded into the theater yet.
Wow. I know it's got a tremendous big sound.
It's going to be an extraordinarily large, rich, epic production.
Well, you got to give us a story on how Broadway in Chicago got to the world premiere of the show.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of tenacious conversations and a little bit of luck, and also, you know, really, really the extraordinary good luck of having Frank Galati, a world-class Broadway director, right here in Chicago, so that, you know, it made sense to be here in Chicago. Also, it's an Irish story that Chicago certainly has one of the biggest Irish populations outside of Ireland itself.
That's true.
Ireland itself. And so that's really, it's beloved for that reason.
I don't think it hurt at all that Broadway in Chicago helped Do world premieres of The Producers, Sweet Smell of Success, Moving Out, Spamalot, All Shook Up, and Sweet Charity. I mean, that had to help a little bit.
It does. I mean, every pre-Broadway that we've done, we've come closer to the hearts of other Broadway producers because what they've been is great successes. And even Martin Short, who really just recently came in, they came in from two cities of, you know, good support, but not great support, and they came into Chicago, and the Chicago audiences just overwhelmed them with their support. They understood the comedy of Martin Short, and Martin Short went on to be a big hit now on Broadway, too. So we like to think that we groom the hit here in Chicago.
Yeah, and I think that the audiences are sophisticated here.
Yeah.
And they're a little, I'll say forgiving to a point where they demand quality, but they're not as jaded as, quite frankly, some of the New York audiences can be.
I think what they do is they really raise the levels of the show when they come here because they're the kind of audience that you can really get a read off of, you can really understand. They're not judgmental, you're right. They absolutely are open to new work. And so you can actually gauge how the show is doing by the Chicago audience.
And it doesn't hurt that most of the critic community here is pretty fair-minded, too.
You just took the word that out of mouth. In addition, we have journalists that are interested in new work. They're critics, but they're also journalists. And they really understand the nature of Broadway and what it takes to, you know, a musical is a fragile age. It takes a lot to put together a new musical. And it's not easy. I mean, it looks, once it's up on stage, it looks seamless and pretty easy almost. But every part of it, every turn that they take, every judgment, every call that they make in rehearsal can affect the length of the run and the success of the run. So it's really important that they have the kind of process that they are able to get.
Yeah, a lot of people think that you just put them together, but it's almost like raising a family. I mean, it's a continuous process.
And with Bouvier and Schoenberg, people think, well, they always write good musicals, so therefore that should be easy. I mean, everyone, you're on the mark for, you know, what is the music going to be like, and what are the sets going to be like, and the costumes, and the lights, and the actors. I mean, there are so many turns in a musical that are important.
Well, I love seeing world premieres, and it's always kind of cool to put your two cents into it, and sometimes you write things about it. Well, the show needs this or that, and then I guess they do listen to us, because I remember Moving Out, for example, was a terrific show. It had a couple of little flaws in it, and I think every one of us in town said the same thing, and they made the changes. It went on to be a hit in New York, and then when I saw it when it just came back recently, it was definitely better, and I remember my complaint wasn't there.
Right. Well, it's interesting because I think that they very much listen to the critics, and I think they listen to the audience. I mean, I know it was very well documented in Moving Out how much they listen, but I also think they're just attuned to the intelligence of the Chicago critics. So, for instance, I've always seen producers come back and dissect the reviews in a way that they really said, look, I got what they're saying here. I totally understood, and I think we know how to translate that into. I mean, that's what an out-of-town tryout is all about. And they're very important, and they're very necessary for a musical, because you can't just get a musical up on its feet and have it.
But Chicago wasn't the place for these until Broadway and Chicago really kind of brought them here. Didn't they go to Baltimore, Boston, Philadelphia?
Only historically Boston and Philadelphia and Baltimore. I mean, the East Coast was. But I think the traveling age got to them, and being so close to New York became a very difficult situation for pre-Broadways because they wouldn't leave them alone anymore. They wouldn't let them do what they needed to do, which is incubate the show. And because they were so close to New York, it became a problem. So they started to travel out and go to other cities. I like to believe that Chicago is the best city for pre-Broadway, and certainly we believe that we've had all the hits. So we know if you want a hit, you come to Chicago. But there are other cities, and we're always in competition with those cities, but we can go shoulder to shoulder with just about any city in the country.
Particularly with the venues now. I mean, Congratulations on the LaSalle Bank.
The LaSalle Bank Theater is extraordinary.
It really is. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It really took a theater that had, you know, certainly gone neglected for a long while. And I want to, the Niederlander organization really put everything they could into that theater. And you walk in that theater now and your breath is taken away. And it is definitely on a par, if not higher, than the Oriental and the Cadillac Palace, which I thought couldn't happen.
Yeah, I was very much impressed with it too. And I see you're gonna keep the place busy this year.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things coming.
Yes, you do.
In all the theaters, we have, you know, right after Pirate Queen, we have Mamma Mia at the Cadillac Palace.
Well, let me slip in Altar Boys. That's a spoof on Christian pop groups. Now, I've not seen that, so I'm going to be interested in that. It's from October 10th through the 29th. That's what everyone tells me. It's a real fun show.
I had no idea what to expect, and I had so much fun in the show, and, you know, certainly I marketed shows like Nonsense and Do Black Pet Leather Shoes.
Yeah, so you know funny shows. Yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah. And funny, you know, shows about Christian behavior, too.
So this falls into that genre?
It does a little bit. It's a little bit outside of the box because it's really about boy bands. And,
oh, okay.
It's about, you know, really this relationship that this develops in a boy band that makes it so, you know, fun and exciting, and the energy impact. And, you know, it spoofs the boy bands as much as it spoofs some of the Christian altar boy, you know, issues. And I don't know, the whole thing is just so much fun. I mean, you can't walk out without having a smile on your face.
Well, so that's going to run October 10th through the 29th. And then you're bringing back Mamma Mia for what, the third or fourth time? I mean, this is a show that everybody absolutely loves.
It's a perennial favorite, right? I mean, Mamma Mia, people just love the show.
Yes, they do.
I remember the first time I thought, oh, this is the best thing that could ever happen to Chicago. And, you know, we had Mamma Mia pre-Broadway as well.
Oh, did you? I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
Mamma Mia came to the Cadillac Palace before it went to Broadway.
Okay.
We were very lucky to have that, and that's another one of our lists.
So that's your kind of your Christmas show, that December 12th through the 31st,
right,
at the Palace.
That and Wicked, of course. So.
Well, Wicked and Spelling Bee.
Exactly right.
And I got to ask you this, you know, before we go into the rest of the shows, that someone told me, they said, well, with you proving that worthy shows can have a long-term audience, how far away are you from Avenue Q or Jersey Boys? Is that in the future?
Well, we always hope. We hope that every show is in our future, especially shows with titles like those.
I mean, Avenue Q would do very well here.
Yeah. I think that Avenue Q, it's unfortunate that Avenue Q went to Las Vegas first.
Yeah, that was a disastrous mistake. Yeah.
My part. Of course, I think every show should come to Chicago. You ask anyone in the New York community or in the Chicago community, and they know that the first words out of Eileen's mouth is, you should come to Chicago first. And I was at a conference where the Bob Gaudio spoke from Jersey Boys, and they asked me to, they didn't have anyone sitting in the front row, so they said, Eileen, you sit in the front row. So, of course, Bob Gaudio spoke all about Jersey Boys, and I, of course, shot my hand up right away when they asked for questions, and I jumped up and I said, you know, your whole fan base for the Four Seasons is in Chicago.
Absolutely, yeah.
Picked Chicago very early on.
And we could cast that show with our talent.
Yeah, you should think about very long run. So, you know, we hope very much that Jersey Boys is in our future. And, you know, as soon as we know anything, we'll, of course, have it in the newspapers. But it is definitely a show we have our eyes on.
Good. Great. Well, we know that, you know, you guys know how to get the good shows. Now, continuing your season, you have Doubt. Starting January 9th to January 28th at the LaSalle Bank Theater.
Yeah.
This is unique because you're going to have the original Broadway star, Sherry Jones.
Yeah, you know, it's very important to me. I love plays and I love language. And they don't always tour the plays to Chicago, and we fight very hard for them. And we've shown and proven a track record that we can support plays here in Chicago, whereas on many of the cities in the world, they can't. So we're very much looking out for as many plays as we possibly can, and that was one that we looked at right away. And the idea of being able to get the Broadway cast to be able to fill the roles is really quite special for Chicago.
Yes, it is. And Tuesdays with Maury was successful here. And the Valerie Harper Golda's Balcony. Boy, I thought that was marvelous.
Yeah, we did Copenhagen.
Yes, you did.
And, you know, those were shows that turned heads because it was like, wow, they really deliver on a play. But, you know, Chicago loves plays.
Yes, we do.
Growing up as a child, I went to see lots of plays, and they weren't always the most brilliant plays, but they were plays that toured more than they do now. So I really love the fact that we can actually present some of these great plays.
Well, and after Doubt, you're going to have 12 Angry Men with Richard Thomas and George Wendt.
Yeah, George Wendt, a Chicago.
Yes, he is, yes.
So we're quite happy to have him. And I think 12 Angry Men is going to be a great show. And then we also have Legends coming in.
Yes, tell us about Legends. I mean,
well,
talk about the perfect name for a show.
Well, Legends, it's more of an event than it is anything else. I mean, we're really looking forward to it. And, you know, the two stars, you know, are just amazing. And I think we'll bring out a very interesting.
We have Joan Collins and Linda Evans.
Yeah. I mean, it's Dynasty.
Yeah, that's
Wild is what it's basically.
For some of the kids in their 20s, some of our listeners may not know they're from Dynasty, but well, maybe not.
I think they have a cult following.
Oh, it's probably on the cable. I'm out of theater arena. I don't watch television much. Okay.
I think there's a cult following, and I've had more interest in that show, and I think, you know what? I'm always interested in bringing new audiences out to the theater, and I think this is one of those shows that will have a crossover audience that will introduce people to our shows.
With Paul Newman taking the stage, wow. I mean, that, talk about three top people.
Yeah. Well, it'll be a very fun show and very interesting.
But to round out your season, you have The Color Purple.
Well, that's a very special show. It's a landmark event for us. Chicago is first to get The Color Purple, and that was very much our intent. Of course, we have the hometown favorite, Oprah Winfrey, that was on our side. And
that doesn't hurt you too much, does it?
Exactly. So it's really great because the producers of The Color Purple are very special. They're independent producers, very committed to the show. Scott Sanders produced the show, and along with Oprah Winfrey. And they are very, very committed to this show being an extreme success across the country. And for us, to be able to start in Chicago, be able to have some of the casting done in Chicago.
Some of the New York people are coming. Isn't Felicia Fields coming?
We don't have any, no confirmation.
Okay.
We'd love to have Felicia.
Okay.
We don't consider her to be a New Yorker.
And that was one of the travesties of the last Tony Awards that she did not win.
We all had our hearts broken over that. But you know what? She's an award winner no matter what. And one thing, she was nominated. She's been recognized internationally for her work in this piece. And we would love to have her back here at home. So,
well, I hope that works out. And Gary Griffin is directing.
Yeah, so this is a very, very Chicago production. I mean, the star in New York is from Chicago. The director is certainly the fabric of Chicago, and Oprah Winfrey. So we are very lucky.
Well, I think, I always believe that luck is some smart marketing that works with it. I attended that press conference you had announcing A Color Purple. And folks, generally at a press conference, you might get 20 or 30 people, maybe 50 people if it's a real special event. When I walked in the palace, there were mobs covering the street. It took me 15 minutes to get. It was amazing. Tell us the story about it. And I could see what you're trying to do. You're building this big advance for a show that is, you know, that is, I have not seen, but I've heard the score. It's a tremendous score, and the film is one of the great films of all time.
Yeah, it's really a very loved film, and it tells a very important story, and it really. You know, there just aren't very many wonderful African-American stories that have been put to music and have been musicals. And for me, this is really important that this show does well here in Chicago and sets a tone for the rest of the country and sends a message to Broadway producers that these important stories can be told.
Well, what you did that I thought was smart, correct me if I'm wrong, though, that you invited all of the ministers from all the African-American churches in the Chicagoland community.
A special thing at Broadway in Chicago, with all our big shows,
okay,
this was one that more press came to, so therefore more people realized it. But we invite group leaders, people who bring groups together of 20 or more to see theater on a regular basis. And there's many of them. And the interesting thing about the Chicago market, the reason why we're so closely akin to New York, is we have an unbelievable group sales base here in Chicago. Most theaters depend on subscriptions. Broadway in Chicago depends on their subscribers as well as their group.
Okay. Well,
people who come, who bring 20 or more people, sometimes 200, 500 people.
Well, I heard you had, that day you had a large number.
We did. We did. We had,
dollar numbers.
We had 1,500 people, and I think we did well into the, close to the $2 million mark in group sales.
That day, a year before the show.
Oh, well over.
Well over. That is amazing.
And the thing of it is that these are people who are the bread and butter of theater. I mean, they bring in groups from across the country, and they're very, you know, it's a great group for Chicago as well as for the theater community because they stay in hotels.
Oh, certainly. It's great for the economy of the city.
Exactly. And that's what the success of Broadway in Chicago is about. It's about the theater patrons that come. And we have subscribers. We have groups. We do more groups in Chicago than probably anywhere else in the country.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
So there were 1,500, probably about 100 press people, and the rest were all group leaders that are very, very interested in bringing groups to The Color Purple. And I want you to know that most people said, oh, well, all 1,500 people thought Oprah Winfrey was going to be there. But we want you to know that we called every patron and made sure they understood that.
No, I knew she was not going to be there. I can, and I came anyhow because everyone told me this isn't, I wanted to hear the songs because you brought in some of the people from New York.
What we do at these events, which are really great, is they're private events and they're made for press and for our group sales leaders. And what they're able to do is get a little snapshot of the show.
Yeah, I think you did, what, three numbers from the show?
Three numbers from the show. We have a video. We actually introduced the first one of the commercial spots that they created for the show.
That's right.
And it really just gives the audience, which at that point is all group leaders, the ability to understand the show to the point where they can convey it to the people that they're selling to. So, you know, many people say that, you know, it's a giant sales event. I like to think that it's a little bit of a preview, per se, on the show itself, so that everyone understands what it is.
Yeah, that's the way I took from it. And I know a couple of people, you know, took a shot saying, well, you know, they were marketing. Well, thank God you were marketing. You know, it's a shame. But, you know, it's a shame that I go to theater almost every night, and it's nothing sadder than seeing a magnificent show in a small little theater with five people there, because they either don't know how or don't have the money to market. And that's one of the reasons why Talk Theater in Chicago exists, is to let people know what's going on.
You know, for me, what inspires me is to go to Wrigley Field and see a full house at Wrigley Field with a losing team. And I think to myself, I love the Cubs, and I'm so impressed by their marketing, and I'm so impressed by the event that they've created in that park. And I take that same knowledge to theater. And for me, the most important thing is the show is great, but what's the most important is the audience that soaks up the show. So for me, someone always asks me, what's my favorite part of theater? It's the audience. So for me, the more people that see in the show is the more reward that we have.
Well, you have a real actor's mentality on this, because I know the actors say, a lot of people don't realize, the actors feed off that the audience. That's one of the reasons why some of these very successful film actors who, you know, make $20-30 million a film come to do theater, and they'll do it for some equity minimum. It's not about money. It's about that interaction.
Oh, it's just the most exciting thing. I'll tell you a Wicked story. Wicked is certainly one of those audience shows. The audience loves it. They're so crazy about it. And I remember at the very beginning when the show first opened, I was standing next to the producer, and it was right at the end of the show. And there was a large group that we had booked in, and it was a fundraising group. And oftentimes producers think that fundraising groups aren't as appreciative of the show, or they leave early or whatever. And so I was very sensitive about this group. But the group came in, and they loved the show. The audience was wild. And at the very end of the show, when it was dark, the entire main floor stood up, and I thought, oh my gosh, they're going to leave, and the producer's going to kill me. And then I realized that they started this unbelievable wave ovation that I've never heard before in my life. In the dark. This was a standing.
In the dark. Wow, that's it.
The cast even hit the stage and the lights went up on the curtain call. So here they were before anything happened. They were standing and applauding and cheering. And when you get that rush, that is live theater.
Yes.
That's what it's all about.
Right. I agree. I agree. It certainly is. Wow, it's so enjoyable to talk to somebody who really enjoys their work, and obviously you love this, and you're right, there is nothing like the theater, and I commend Broadway in Chicago for really putting Chicago on the map, because it's not just the shows you guys do, it's the spillover goes down to the smallest storefront. When people are going to theater, they start looking at my website, or they go on our a theater in Chicago, and they browse through, and sure, they may go to Wicked, and then they have an appetite for another show. So they'll see a small storefront, and certainly they'll go to see Spelling Bee.
And I know that works. I know that works because I know that we introduce new theater goers every night at Wicked and new theater goers every night at Spelling Bee. And I know that we're able to advertise in a way that a smaller theater may not be able to, but I also know that we create theater goers. And how do I know that? Because My daughter's own friend has come to me. So one of her boyfriends came to me last night and said, I saw Spelling Bee the other night, and now I'm going to go see theater with your daughter all the time, because it just made him a theater goer.
Great.
And for me, there's no competition in theater. There's just bad theater. So the key is to have a really exciting experience every time you go to theater.
That's true. That's true. And wow, it is fun. We're really looking forward to the Pirate Queen. Again, that's going to open October 3rd, right?
Yeah, it starts in previews October 3rd and has its press opening on October 29th.
I'll remember that date, October 29th.
And we're really looking forward to that. And, you know, they're loading in the sets now, and they'll start rehearsal right after Labor Day in the theater. And those are the most exciting times for Broadway in Chicago, because we're actually seeing the creation of the show.
Do you go down and sneak in there? You're there.
Just down there today, looking at the sets coming in, and the proscenium is just unbelievably gorgeous and lavish and technical effects.
So this is going to be a spectacle besides being the big sound.
This is going to be a spectacle like we haven't seen before. So it really is going to be amazing.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Thank you so much. This has been terrific.
Okay.
Thank you. And thank you for listening, and remember, go see a play this week.
Well, thank you for listening to this enlivened episode of Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast, brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. But before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote has to deal with values, and it comes from Hamlet, Act 2, Scene 2. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Well, we can't thank you enough for listening to this enlivened episode of Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready to stick in your ears. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.